Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Two verses of scripture that I'm going to share with you, and then we're going to just dive in. We're going to dive back in to where we have already been today. In Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13, the word of the Lord reads, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Before we pray, I want to ask one question. What would God do if everybody in this place sincerely sought after Him at the same exact time? He has already given us a glimpse from the ones that have already been seeking. But I believe that God is going to take us into another dimension today. If you'll lift your hands in agreeance and pray over this word. Lord, I thank you, God, for what I feel in this place. Father, I pray that the words I speak wouldn't be from my mouth, Lord, but they would come from your heart. God, I believe that you have something special for us in here today. God, something is about to be unlocked in this house. In the name of Jesus. If you believe it, clap your hands unto the Lord as you are seated. There is an incredible contrast between these two scriptures. We have two different prophets, two different books in the Bible that are side by side. And we see in the same chapter and in the same verse of each book, the word of the Lord being presented to his own people, explaining two totally different parallels in their walk with God. The prophet Isaiah identifies the problem, and the prophet Jeremiah identifies, or he reveals, the solution. Comparing these two scriptures, in Isaiah he says that the people drew near with their mouth, but Jeremiah said, "Seek God with all your heart." Isaiah said, "Their lips do honor God," but Jeremiah said, "These people have a heart that is pursuing God." Isaiah said that their heart is far from God, but Jeremiah said, "Your heart is fully devoted to God." Isaiah describes religion without relationship, and Jeremiah describes relationship that is producing wholehearted worship. In Isaiah, God rebukes this condition. But in Jeremiah, God promises, "Ye shall find me." Isaiah says that there are people who know how to say the right things. They know how to sing the right songs. They know when to stand. They know when to clap. They know when to lift their hands. They know how to look like they're close to God, but their heart is somewhere else. Isaiah is describing a people who have learned to go through the motions. But Jeremiah comes along and he gives us one of the greatest promises in all of Scripture. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Hidden in this promise is security. God is saying, if you do what I desire of you, I will do my part. We do not have to manufacture revival. We don't have to try and create an atmosphere. We just need to seek him with all our heart, and he will respond. There is a difference between the difference between these two scriptures. It's not, is God willing? But the difference is the heart after God. One group came near with their lips, and the other sought him with all of their heart. And that brings me to my title. The title of this message today is God Desires All of You. Do you desire all of him? Will you give him all of your heart today? This is the reason that God created man, because he desires a relationship with you. He doesn't want just a part of you. He doesn't just want your Sundays. He doesn't want to just be a part of a routine. He doesn't want just the words that are coming out of your mouth, but he wants all of you. God wants all of your heart. He wants all of your mind, all of your faith, all of your worship. God desires you to come to him in complete surrender. And I have come to tell somebody today that God is calling us back into a place of dependence on him. God is not expecting you to depend on this world and worship him out of routine. God's moving isn't dependent on what we can do for him. He doesn't need the best singers. He doesn't need the best preachers so that he can pour out of the windows of heaven. God just needs you to give him your whole heart. Now, what I'm about to do, I don't believe preachers are supposed to do. They're not allowed to do this, but I'm going to tell you exactly where we're going today. I'm going to show you every card in my hand, because yesterday God called me into a place of prayer. And I distinctly remember telling God this: I just want to bring your people into a place of unity, seeking after you with all of our heart, for two reasons. Because if we will do this, it will please God. Number two, it will create an atmosphere where God can do anything, where God can move without hindrances. I believe when God's people seek him together with all of their heart, impossible things become possible. I've been a part of some great outpouring services where nothing else mattered but getting somebody to Jesus. Whenever everybody gets into a place of seeking after God in one mind and one accord, blinded eyes are open, deaf ears are unstopped, cancer begins to disappear, the enemy hightails it out of the place. People will leave their wheelchairs, they'll leave their canes and their walkers behind. And I believe that if he has done it once, he can do it again. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 through 24, the word reads, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people, and his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic and had the palsy, and he healed them all." when these people had heard about the one who could heal them, they heard about the one that could set them free. They heard about the power that he has to cast out devils. They sought after him with all of their heart. And Jesus healed all manner of sickness. He healed all manner of disease. They brought all the sick people, and he healed them all. There wasn't one sickness too hard. There wasn't one sickness too advanced. There wasn't one disease that was too great for him. There is not a devil in hell that is too powerful. There wasn't one life that was too broken. When they came to Jesus, he saw their heart and had compassion on them. And he met every one of them right where they were at. Hell has been whispering to somebody in here today, God can heal them, but he can't heal you. God can deliver them, but he can't do it for you. God can fill them, but he can't do it for you. And Satan wants you to believe that God's power has limits. But my Bible says, bring all the sick, bring all the bound, bring all the broken, bring all the addicted, all the depressed, all the fearful, all the hopeless, all the lost, and God is able to heal them all. He is able to deliver all, and he is able to save them all. This invitation was never exclusive to just good people. He told them in one place, I have not come for the whole, but I have come for the sick. And there is a divine law of attraction in God. And it is simply this. In James 4:8, it says, you draw nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto you. In the Bible, the majority of people that Jesus healed, they had something in common. Now, this is the majority. There's a few exceptional cases. Jesus didn't go to them, but they came to him. They cried out to him. They sought after him, and he responded. Everywhere Jesus went, people came. Not because they wanted another church service, not because they wanted another sermon. They came because they believed, if I can just get to Jesus, everything can change immediately. And I'm here to tell somebody today that this is still true. One moment in sincerity seeking after Jesus is enough for him to move in your situation. In Mark 5:21-23, it says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her that she may be healed and she may live. The Bible tells us that much people were gathered unto him. There was a big crowd of people pursuing after Jesus. Everybody wanted to get to Jesus. Everybody was close enough to see him. But being in the crowd isn't the same as coming to him. You can be in the crowd, you can be right beside somebody receiving a miracle and still not get your miracle. But the Bible says, out of the midst of the crowd, Jairus came and fell at the feet of Jesus and he worshiped him. There is something powerful about the posture of Jairus here. Even though he was a ruler of the synagogue, he was a wealthy man and he had authority in his area. He didn't stand above Jesus. He didn't approach him with pride. And he didn't demand anything. The Bible says that he fell at his feet. How you approach God with your situation matters. Some people will approach him in doubt. Some people will approach him in fear. Some will approach in frustration. And some approach like he has forgotten them. But Jairus approached Jesus in worship. And before Jesus ever went to his house and healed his daughter, Jairus was already at his feet. But then the word reveals the next part of this. Jairus had enough faith to ask Jesus to leave the multitude that was gathered to be healed to come to his house and heal his daughter. Now think about that. There were people everywhere. There were needs everywhere. Yet Jairus believed that Jesus cared enough to stop everything for him. When you seek after him with all your heart, he will turn his face towards you because you matter to Jesus. Oh, somebody in here, you've been withholding your need from Jesus because it's manageable, because it only bothers you sometimes. But I believe if you will step out of the crowd and take it to Jesus, he will meet you just like he met Jairus, and Jesus will heal you. As Jairus went to his house, or as Jesus went with Jairus to his house, the Bible says that much people followed him and crowded him. And in the midst of all of these people, there was a woman who had heard of Jesus. And this woman suffered from a disease that man could not heal. She had spent 12 years suffering and seeking help from the world, and it just kept getting worse. And I feel this in the spirit today. Somebody in here has tried everything you can in this world, and the situation hasn't gotten any better. It's only gotten worse. I'm here to preach against that doubt, against that fear, against those things that you have built up in your mind saying that God can't do it for me, because I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you, you matter to him, and there comes a point where you've got to say enough is enough. I'm not going to deal with this any longer, but I'm going to press in to Jesus. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy like Jesus. There's no healer like Jesus. No doctor can do what he can do. There's no deliverer like Jesus. There's no counselor that can do for you like Jesus can. And there is nothing in this world that can fill that Jesus-shaped void in your heart. But when she heard about Jesus, her heart was set on this fact: if I could just touch him, I shall be made whole. Oh, do you feel that today? If I could just touch him, I shall be made whole. Somebody needs to get their mind made up right now. If I could just touch him, I shall be made whole. This is what Jeremiah 29 and 13 looks like. Her whole heart was fixed on one thing, and that was getting to Jesus. The Bible states that this woman pressed through the crowd. And in her press, she was only able to get close enough to touch the hem of his garments. But let me tell you that that was close enough. I was reading this, and I began to ask myself, what does this pressing look like? What does this look like for her, and what does this look like for me? There was a distance between her and Jesus, and in between them, there was a barrier of people. I'm going to make this very simple. Her heart was set on getting to Jesus, so she did everything she could, and she pressed through that crowd of people, and she received her miracle. This pressing isn't about how loud we can be. This pressing isn't about how emotional we can be. But the pressing is about removing every barrier between you and Jesus. Whatever is standing between you and Jesus, it's time to push through it. It's time to push through fear. It's time to push through doubt. It's time to push through shame. It's time to push through your past. It's time to push through your pride. It's time to push through your unbelief. It's time to push through every distraction. You don't have to stay in the crowd and wait your turn. If you will step out in faith, I believe that God will heal you immediately. And God will deliver you immediately. He can change your situation immediately. In one moment with God, He can do more for you. Do you believe it today? If you will seek after Him with your whole heart, you will find Him. If we will apply this on an individual level, all at the same time, I believe that God can and He will meet all of us here today. Something will happen when we get in one accord, when we get in one mind. I believe that as you are preparing your heart, God is preparing your miracle. I believe that as you are getting ready to step out, Jesus is getting ready to meet you. It's amazing what Jesus will do for one person that seeks after Him with all their hearts. But I've come to ask this question. What happens when it isn't just one? What happens when it isn't just two or three? What happens when everybody in the room lays down pride, lays down distractions, lays down fear, and everybody begins to worship, everybody begins to believe, and everybody has expectation? What would happen if we would all seek after Him? What could God do if we could get to this place? You can stand with me. I wish that for just a few moments we could practice what I'm preaching. With every eye closed and every hand lifted, from a place of true sincerity, will you worship God with all your heart? Will you make known your desire to Him? For just a few moments. That's it. His word is true. Keep that going for another few moments. As you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh unto you. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Open your heart completely to him right now. Don't worry about who's standing beside you. Don't worry about who's watching. This moment right now is between you and Jesus. That same Jesus that stopped for Jairus. That same Jesus that stopped for the woman with the issue of blood is walking through this room right now. He is still responding to wholehearted seekers. Can you feel him? He is still able to heal your body. He is still able to deliver you out of your mess. He is still able to fill you with his spirit. Oh, somebody, right now, seek after him with all your heart. We do not have to rush past what God is doing right now. This is setting the stage for what he wants to do. Oh, hallelujah. There's a shift happening in here right now. Something is breaking loose in here right now. Faith is rising in this place. Those chains that have kept you from Jesus are falling off right now. He is getting ready to loose miracles in this place. Oh, hallelujah. In Acts chapter 2, there was about 120 people seeking God, just like we are right now. And this is what happened. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, somebody say all, with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost as the Spirit. And they were speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Church, this is what God promised in Jeremiah 29:13. There is a group of people seeking God with all their heart. Isaiah showed us the people whose hearts were far from God. And Acts 2 is showing us a people whose hearts were completely given to God. They weren't just in the same room. They were in one mind and in one accord. They were seeking the same God with the same expectation. And what happened? Suddenly, God showed up. What will God do when he finds a group of people seeking after them, after him with all of their heart, all at once? There is no greater miracle than receiving the Spirit. It is not enough for me to be healed without being filled. Being healed physically isn't enough to keep me. An experience won't get me there, but being filled with His Spirit will. The greatest miracle from God isn't healing a restored body. It's a transformed life. The greatest miracle is being filled with His Spirit. Somebody look at your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and speak faith to them. God will heal you today. If you have not received the Spirit, God will fill you with the Spirit today. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons, and we are given an open invitation to Jesus. And I believe in just a few moments, I believe that God is going to heal every sickness in this house. Everything that you have been dealing with is going to be broken in one moment before God. God is going to heal every seeker. He's going to fill every seeker. Are you ready? Do you want to step into what God wants to do for you today? If you are ready, I want to invite you to come down to this altar. But don't just come alone. I want you to bring somebody with you. Bring the one sitting next to you. Moms, bring your kids. We are going to get into the pattern of how God can respond. We are all going to come, and God is going to meet us here today. Everybody who will come, I'm pleading with you right now. Not for me, but come for Jesus. That's it. As you step out in faith, Jesus is preparing your miracle. As you step out in faith, He's taking steps towards you. If you need a touch from God, I want you to signify it by lifting one hand. If you have pain in your body and you need healing, I want you to lift your hand. If you've been dealing with sickness and you are tired and you're at the end of your rope, I want you to lift your hand towards heaven. Now, if you have never been filled with the Spirit and spoken tongues the way they did in the Bible, and you want that today, I want you to signify it by lifting your hands. Hallelujah. God sees your faith. This is exactly what they did in the book of Acts. They encouraged one another. They believed together. They sought God together. And we are about to do the same. Oh, hallelujah. Now listen. We are about to position ourselves to receive from God. This isn't steps to earn a miracle. This is a simple way to remove everything between us and God. This is how we are going to press. The first thing we are going to do, and we are going to do this together, is we are going to lift our hands. And what this signifies is, God, I surrender to you. God takes notice of your surrender. And what you say when you lift your hands is, Jesus, I am not holding anything back. Now, this is the practice round. The next time we lift our hands, we are going to do it with all of our heart. We are not going to do it halfway, but we are going to completely surrender to Him. Tell somebody that God is about to meet you here today. The second thing we are going to do is we are going to close our eyes so that we are not distracted by anything. When we close our eyes, we are going to focus on Jesus. We are doing this so there is no distraction, because this moment is between us and Jesus. It's between you and Jesus. And when you close your eyes, I want you to do that right now. Close your eyes, and I want you to visualize your miracle. I want you to envision what you have been dealing with, what you have been living with, the pain that is in your body. I want you to imagine it leaving you. And get a picture of Jesus taking a step towards you. I could feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. The third thing we're going to do is we are going to lift up our head. This is so important. You must lift your head towards heaven. You cannot receive anything with your head hanging in shame and disbelief. When you hang your head, you are surrendering to shame, fear, and doubt. But when you lift your head, it is a sign of faith. When you lift your head, you're lifting it in expectation to receive something from God. And the fourth thing we're going to do is we are going to repent together. When I tell you we are going to lift our voice and we are going to begin to repent of our sins out loud. This does not mean you have to shout out everything that you have done. But the Bible said that godly sorrow works repentance. You need to feel sorry for the sins that you have been living in. You need to want God to forgive you. You need to say, God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. But repentance isn't just saying I'm sorry, but it's committing to living for Jesus and to not go back. And the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, and He will forgive you. Nothing opens your heart to God like genuine repentance. And after you repent, you're going to feel something. You're going to feel weight begin to lift off of you. You're going to transition from a place of sorrow into a place of joy. And when you feel that, when the atmosphere shifts, we are going to worship Him with all of our might. And I'm going to speak a word of faith over you. And I believe that God is going to release miracles in this house. Are you ready? Are you ready for a demonstration of the power of God? Lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hands and surrender to God. This is the moment where God is going to meet you. Press in with all your might. And close your eyes and get your mind on Jesus. Something shifting in the house. Now lift your head in expectation. Get ready to receive your miracle. Get ready to receive the Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.